Welcome to Good Dogs, where we believe dog training starts with people training, and all dogs are good dogs. It's people who have to be educated to understand dogs on their terms to bring out the good in each dog so we can live together harmoniously. This show explores all aspects of communication between people and dogs, whether they are canine partners in military work, purpose-bred and trained service dogs, competitors in dog sports, or pets, from a newly adopted senior dog to a young puppy. I'm Tracy Hotchner, and want to introduce my co-host, Carol Borden, a veteran of 60 years training people to train dogs. She's the founder of Guardian Angel Medical Service Dogs, as you will hear in a minute, which has trained dogs through her college-accredited, VA-approved curriculum to work inside the Pentagon and other Defense Department facilities alongside disabled staff members. Carol has also personally competed in the demanding short sport of Schutzhund and has trained ex-military and police canine handlers to work at Guardian Angel training service dogs. Let us know any questions you have at radiopetlady@gmail.com. My next guest, Carol Borden, is pretty amazing. For 55 years, she's been training dogs. Got a title on her first dog when she was only 10 years old. But her life work went in a different direction when she had a friend who was a quadriplegic who wanted to live independently and had a German Shepherd. And who do you think trained that dog to be a service dog? It was Carol. And from that, she's created Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs, and it's quite an incredible accomplishment. Carol, welcome to the show and congratulations on the work you've already done and continue to do on behalf of people who need these amazing dogs.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I love sharing the stories.
I'm sure you do. And you go in an interesting direction. The picture is with some beautifully bred, gorgeous-looking German Shepherds, but you rescue and then train dogs. So talk a little bit about where your dogs come from before you train them to be medical service dogs.
Well, we actually do both, Tracy. 80% of our program is based on a very specialized breeding program, and the other 20% are our rescue dogs. And the way that works, there is a huge, huge fallout rate of dogs that are going through the training to become service dogs. Across the country, it's about a 60% flunk out rate.
That's right.
It's kind of like being the rocket scientist in the human world. These are the rocket scientists of the dog world. So we actually did a research project a few years ago with Princeton University because they wanted to see if they could help save money and time, because it's very, very expensive to take these dogs from point A to finish. And they were genotyping the characteristics needed in the dogs at a very early age. And so we participated in the study. And of the 59 samples that we sent to them from our breeding program, every single one of them came back with all of the characteristics necessary to be a service dog. So that was incredibly important confirmation of a proper breeding program. But at the same time, we absolutely love our rescue dogs. You know, everybody loves puppies and they're all cute, but we don't look at puppies because we know they're very adoptable. We look at the little bit older dogs that are not as likely to be adopted. And those are the ones that we look for special traits in and bring those dogs in for our training program. And in both cases, we have a very high success rate.
Because you're picking specifically for certain traits and characteristics that you can, that are sometimes, as I understand it, the traits that make a dog not a good everyday family pet, perhaps too high a drive, having so much energy and needing to focus on something to do, that those dogs don't make the most kickback pets, but can be brilliant if they're put to work. Is that the main thing you look for when you're going to a shelter? The dog that people say, great, but it needs a job.
That is one of the things that we look at. You know, an awful lot of dogs that get into trouble in families as pets, it is because they're extremely intelligent and they're not being given the proper direction and, enrichment for their minds. And we do, because obviously we take dogs like that and they go through a lot of training. It's fun training. Everything we do is very positive and the dogs are very willing. It becomes a matter of proper communication, which most people don't have our level of education on how to make that happen very successfully. But the dogs in the shelters, yes, we do look at those dogs that have good drive, good focus, good nerve, that are healthy structurally and,
right.
and mentally, and, you know, that are a medium to medium large size dog, because a lot of the tasks that are physical tasks that the dogs are asked to learn to do to complete the life of their disabled recipient, they can't be small dogs. Not in all cases.
Right.
So those are some of the things that we look for in our rescue dogs. You know, if we have a dog that's being extremely aggressive or so shy that it's sitting in the corner and will, you know, unfortunately urinate on itself or be a fear bite or things like that, no, we cannot use
right.
those dogs in service work, nor can they be overly protective. They can never create a public safety threat because these dogs are the ones that are given the public access privileges by the federal government.
Right.
So they have to
right.
behave accordingly.
That's a really good point. You're based in Williston, Florida. Do you draw, other than the dogs you breed yourself, and I want to talk about that in a minute because I think purpose breeding is really a fascinating exercise or enterprise, and the fact that you had Princeton look at the genes, so you said, oh, this mom and this dad turn out litters that have a lot of these characteristics is great. Because otherwise, as you say, and I love you being honest and calling it a 60% flunk out rate, because all the Seeing Eye organizations and other organizations that say 40% of the dogs that we purpose breed can go on to do this work, but they always call it a career change or something. I mean, your dogs that flunk out would run fabulous circles around anybody else's dogs that are just home-raised dogs in terms of their ability to serve humans and interact well with the world. They just can't go that extra step for your disabled recipients. But I like that you admit that it's called a flunk out, because in the end, you've invested a massive amount of time, money, and energy, and that dog simply can't go that extra mile, which I guess is an unnatural thing to ask of a dog in general. They really are the rocket scientists, these dogs who will stay on point and on focus, helping their human no matter what the distraction. It's quite extraordinary. I'm sure you admire them every day. I think I lost you.
Yes, we just disappeared for a second.
Okay, not to worry. That's just modern communication. I was just saying how admirable
okay.
the dogs are in terms of being rocket scientists and being able to do more than a dog should ever be asked to do, and yet the dogs who do it love doing it. They can't do it unless they love it. I'm sure that's a really gratifying part of your work. The dogs who want to do it, do it.
That's correct, Tracy, and that is a huge part of our training process. We consider our training to be very cutting edge. In fact, I've written college-accredited courses, also approved by the VA, that teach dog training courses into advanced service dog training courses
wow.
as well, because we have figured out the art of communication with our dogs. Dogs are born very willing souls.
Yes.
They very much want to be part of our pack. And God gave them gifts that we don't have. I mean, their olfactory system, their sense of smell is phenomenal. And some of the things that we have learned in working with service dogs is that long before we have a seizure, a diabetic change, a panic attack, a nightmare, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we already have a chemical change going on in
mm-hmm.
our body, which
yes.
the dogs are very capable of picking up on, so they can start alerting early and intervene. And our dogs love doing their job. And so it's just a matter of proper communication so that the dog understands what we are asking for, and they're rewarded for the correct actions. They're never disciplined for the inappropriate actions, because how can you discipline for something they didn't understand the question
Thank
in the first
you.
Place?
Exactly. I am going to have you talk with me on my show, Good Dogs. We're going to talk about training service dogs. We're going to talk about training military dogs and dogs for the police. That's a separate conversation I want to have with you. You're a woman who's written the book, who's written the course on it. You've trained dogs in Schutzhund, which is the highest level of for German. They're usually German Shepherds and some Dobermans. But to people who know what Schutzhund is, it's tracking. One of the things is tracking, finding, and holding on to the presumed bad guy, and then stopping doing mm-hmm. that the minute the trainer wants them to, leaping over high obstacles. They're the supermen of dogs. And I tried a little bit of Shih Tzu training. I just actually watched it. My Weimaraners just, that's not their thought process. They were really good at nose work, at the tracking. But I do want to talk to you about that because it's something that we can't say enough, that the most, call it aggressive, assertive, attack dogs, patrol dogs, they are all trained with kindness because we understand how their mind works and we reinforce the things we want them to do and we simply help them understand better how to accomplish the task we want in a positive way. You give these dogs away. These are task-trained medical service dogs for people with permanent, visible, and invisible disabilities. I'm just going to read the little list because it's kind of amazing. You give these dogs, after being trained Correct. Specifically for their needs, to veterans, first responders, and others who suffer from disabilities, including PTSD, traumatic brain injury, diabetic and seizure disorders, which can pretty much stop someone's life if they can't even go out if they have these disorders to that extent, mobility issues and more. How are you able to give these dogs away and keep the lights on? Is it all donations?
Yes, it is. It's very, very expensive to do the work we do. Each one of these dogs costs us well over $25,000 just to get them to the point of pairing. And then we have ongoing. We stay with that team for the life of the team. We have several different contingency programs that continue to help these folks because sometimes their lives change.
Right.
Sometimes a recipient dies before a dog. Dogs don't live as long as people. Sometimes they need help with medical issues, all sorts of things. So it's a very, very complex business that we have. And it's very costly. So every dog probably costs us closer to $36,000 a piece when we give them that lifetime of care and follow-up, which we always do. So, yes, we get our income through various sources. We have, of course, individual donations. We do fundraisers. Unfortunately, the events that we used to have in person across the country all went to the wayside with COVID. We had about 12 major events across the country until COVID hit. So you look at our P&Ls, you can see that line is pretty dismal. But and even the grants that we apply for from different foundations, many of those were rerouted from their normal parameters and put into immediate needs of their communities. So now we're hoping things are kind of getting back on track. Fortunately, we maintain a very diversified levels of income. And so we have weathered the COVID storm very well. We're very excited because, you know what? Disabled people still need these dogs.
Of course.
We had to modify many of the things that we did. We normally take care of all the travel expenses to fly the recipients in from all over the country because we are national. And we would bring them in and put them up for the 10 days of training here at our headquarters. But when COVID struck, it wasn't safe for some of our folks
That's
to travel
right.
because they had compromised immune systems. Yet their needs never went away. If anything, they maybe got worse.
Mm-hmm.
So we did modified pairings, and our trainers were fantastic. And they loaded up dogs in caravans and drove them to Pennsylvania or Michigan or wherever it was necessary.
And something.
We accomplish those pairings.
That's really extraordinary that you had that you could be that nimble. Being a woman running a company, you've won a lot of awards. I can see why. You said, okay, here's the problem or the challenge, and here's how we overcome it. That's really amazing. It's the many ways in which a pandemic affects so many people. You don't think of the fact that an extraordinary facility like yours flies in the recipients and puts them up and trains them. Now you have to bring the dog and the trainer to them, and then the trainer and the dog have to be put up somewhere. And that all has to be figured out. My goodness, that's something. Just in concluding, you trained the dog, Alice, who won the 2019 American Humane Hero Dog of the Year Award, which is a big thing, I think, on the Hallmark Channel. And every year of the American Humane Society Association, I should say, the AHA, they have nominate all kinds of dogs that have done heroic things, pull people from literally burning buildings. What did Alice do? Was she paired with one of your recipients?
Yes, she was. In this case, Alice was paired with a civilian, a young man when he was 9 years old, riding in the back of his car to go to dinner with his family, was shot in the head by someone out on the street. And this caused him tremendous brain damage. It destroyed half of his skull. So he has an artificial flap covering half of his brain. He's plagued with seizures and cognitive difficulties.
Wow.
And so his family, their whole life changed dramatically. And so the mom found out about service dogs and hoped that it could help because of his seizure condition. If he fell and hit his head, it could kill him.
Right.
And so, yes, we trained Alice to alert to those seizures in advance and help him with his balance. He was able to start going to school again.
My goodness.
And doing other activities. So she probably alerted to about 100 different seizures in a 3-year period of time. And that's what won her the nomination and ultimately the win for the service dog category.
Isn't that something? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, wonderful that you trained her, wonderful that this poor young man and his family could have this companion who is a daily lifesaver. It's pretty cool. Is she a German Shepherd?
Yes, she is.
So we just have to say German Shepherds are an incredible breed. They always have been, going back to the beginning of service dogs and military working dogs and to this day. It's great that you're able to continue to breed them and keep them healthy, not the way show German Shepherds are unfortunately compromised in their physical being, but to keep them healthy so they can keep us healthy. Carol, thank you for being here, for the amazing work that Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs does. And I hope everybody will have a look at your website, give you a little money or some good cheer and cheer you on. Thank you so much.
That would be wonderful. Tracy, thank you so much for your time and telling our story today.